Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
The Bible says in Exodus 14 and 21, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued, and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off the chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea." I want to minister for a little while on when the morning appeared. Now, when we're talking about light, and we're talking about the dawn of deliverance, when we're talking about the radiance of redemption, when we're talking about hope coming to those that are sitting in the regions of darkness, we must understand that there is a discernment of truth, but there's also a deception from the truth. Now, you got to remember that something that is a lie is something that has no truth in it whatsoever. But deception can have some truth in it. And that's what makes it trickery and treachery. And so when we think of the treacherous things that are transpiring in our generation and our tolerance culture and our sin-friendly attitudes, even in the populace and even among those that even call themselves Christians that live a cheapened grace form of Christianity. 2 Corinthians 11 and 13 through 15 tells us, "And such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So we see that Satan, who is the master deceiver, who is the subtle serpent, he's the one that puts on this pretentious light. It's manufactured light. It is not a God-manifested light. It is something that has the dimness of deception in it. It is something that, if you will, shines with the halogens of hell. And so it gives just enough light for people to head and move or go towards confusion. That's why the Bible says the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Because when somebody who is deceived goes down the boulevards of blasphemy and heads down the avenues of apostasy, and they start doing things according to their own will, and they reject the word of God, and they reject the truth, and they have not a love of the truth, therefore they're given over to delusions and to demonic dominions and to all kinds of human analysis and opinions, then suddenly now they are on a path that may seem like they're headed towards success, but it's going to end in death and destruction, because the wages of sin is death, according to Romans 6:23. But you have to go back even to Isaiah 14 to understand when it says in Isaiah 14 and 12, "How art thou fallen, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" Now, you have to understand that the devil wants to conceive and perceive and persist to get power in the world by weakening the nations. He wants to gain global power. And of course, we know there's a coming Antichrist empire, the son of perdition that's going to rule, this man of sin that's going to oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or even that is worshipped. And he's going to sit in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. So he's going to be a master deceiver, and he's going to use false light and pseudo peace, and he's going to use a contrived hope to try to bring things together and can try to have kind of a witch's potion that's going to even look like it's got some Christian elements to it. But it has this false light in it because there's a weakening of the nations, and it's all because of this appetite of pride and the original sin of Lucifer himself. I mean, he was the son of the morning. He was an angel that had musical instruments built into him. When you go into Ezekiel chapter 28, the Bible talks about every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius and the topaz and the diamond, the beryl and the onyx and the jasper. Then you had the sapphire and the emerald, the carbuncle and gold. And then it says, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was created in thee, or was prepared in thee, in the day that thou wast created. I mean, you're talking about a being that had musical instruments formed into his body. He was one that had radiance and light. And then the scripture goes on to say in Ezekiel 28, he said that thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, and thou hast been or hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. I mean, it's a tremendous revelation in Ezekiel 28 where the Lord is giving a rebuke toward this spiritual wickedness in high places and reminding Lucifer himself, Satan himself, of a position that he once had in the stones of fire, being one of the guardians, if not the chief guardian, of the glory of God. But because he was lifted up, because he got full of pride in his own beauty and in his own brightness, he was cast out. In fact, the scripture says in Ezekiel 28, he said, I will cast thee out as profane from the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. So he lost that position. So when you go back to Isaiah 14 and verse 13, and the scripture says, for thou hast said, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also in the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. The next verse is, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So you see in this desire to ascend, in this desire to usurp areas of authority from the Almighty God himself. I mean, he wanted a certain co-equality with God. He wanted to be above the other angels and esteemed, and really he already was, but there was this pride in him of saying, I'm not like anybody else. I'm more beautiful than everybody else. I've got more power and prestige than anybody else, and therefore I should have this some kind of ascendant acceptance in the divine throne room. And yet the scripture says, the Lord said, that yet thou shalt be cast down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So he wanted the peak, but he got the pit. But think about this, disciple of the Lord. You and I started out in the pit, but like a spiritual Joseph, we ended up with the palace. Because of the grace of God, we've got to come to the kingdom of God. Because of the grace of God, we get to sit and feast of the mercies of the Lord and of the giftings of the Holy Ghost, of righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost, of joy unspeakable and full of glory. We get to be a part of the dominion of everlasting life. The Bible talks about of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So we're a part of that. And some of that comes obviously in the balance of humility against haughtiness, prayerfulness and contrition against pride and rebellion. And so this desire of Satan to increase, yet when you go to Psalm 24, you realize the scripture says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Now think about that in Psalm 24 and 3. Who shall ascend? Then you contrast that with Isaiah 14, where Satan, Lucifer, is saying, I will ascend. So there's no permission. There is no request of God. There's no supplication or no kind of even submissive spirit that is seeking counsel with God. It's just an assumption. It's an arrogance that this is what he's going to do. And yet you go back to Psalm 24 when it says, who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. So think about that. Again, that's contrast in the spirit of the disciple, in the spirit of the hungry human seeker of God, realizing that haughtiness is not going to get counsel with God, that haughtiness is not going to get a place in his kingdom. In fact, James tells us that God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace, favor unto the humble. And so the way that you ascend, the way that you're exalted, what was it Jesus even taught? If a man seeks to exalt himself, he's going to be abased. But those that abase themselves, those are the ones that are exalted. And so the lifting up of Lucifer's mindset was to take this place. He wanted to be the day star. He wanted to be the shining light. He wanted to steal from the glory of God. And yet the Lord said, my glory I'm not going to give to another, in the book of Isaiah, or later on in Isaiah. And so we have to understand that there is a lot of deception. There are a lot of false religions. The book of Timothy shows us where the scripture says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So people are going to be deceived in the last days by something that has a semblance of light. Again, what I call the dimness of deception. Just enough light to make it seem like this is something that is authentic, yet it is something that is apostate. It is something that is on a reprobate's road. It is something that leads to the everlasting destruction of hell. And so we thank God that when we look at the Word of God, we know that the Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So it's the devil, it's the deception, it's the dominion of darkness that sheds just enough light, mixes just enough truth with trickery, just enough of the word with witchcraft, if you will, and it gets people on the wrong path. It gets people justifying sins and justifying sinful behavior and creating religions that are based on sin tolerance rather than being washed in the blood of the Lamb and being delivered by the power of the Holy Ghost. And so when we talk about the glorious gospel, we talk about the light shining. I mean, the scripture goes on to say a couple of verses later, for God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So you see, the face of redemption is Jesus. The face of hope is Jesus. The face of oneness and the Godhead and the mysteries of eternity and the powers of creation and upholding all the worlds by the word of his power. And this one who is the express image of the personage of God, it's the face of Jesus Christ. But Lucifer wanted to be that face. And so he still desires to be that face. And something that's interesting, when you go back to Isaiah 14 and verse 13, when it's talking about the increase, when he says, I will ascend, not increase, but ascend. He said, I will ascend into heaven. That word ascend is an ancient Hebrew word, Allah. So it's somewhat like the Arabic word for Allah that became the adaptive word for the name of God in the religion of Islam, but it is a false god. It is a false religion. It does not represent the true God of Abraham. But actually, I believe this is Lucifer himself trying to ascend. Think about it when he says, I will sit also in the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That's specifically talking about wanting to rule the mountainous areas, and especially north of Jerusalem, which would be that spiritually significant place of Mount Zion, where the glory of the Lord is supposed to be. And then you think about where on the Temple Mount the mosque is in this Islamic religion, this blasphemous claim to be a place that worships Allah. And I believe it's no coincidence that the Hebrew word Allah means ascend, and this is the devil's desire to steal the glory of God and to sit in the seat of God and to be worshiped as a god. And yet that is false light. And so then we come back to the children of Israel, trapped at the Red Sea. It's this giant liquid stop sign. And now they've got hundreds of iron chariots behind them. They got Pharaoh's horsemen on their trail. And now there's fear. And the man of God stands up on that great precipice looking out over the sea. And the Lord speaks to him and he cries out, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And of course, Moses stretches out his staff over the sea. And all night long, the Bible says, the east wind began to blow. I want you to imagine, if you will, for a moment, I want you to see as a milky mist of divine presence descends upon those waters, and cloudy fingers grip the stubborn sea, and there's crashing waves, and there's blowing winds, and there's now a forming wall, and there's a wound that is created in the sea as there's a long incision stretched at the center of the sea as God cuts this liquid body in half. And then promise breathes upon the moist sands, and the saturated clay begins to harden. And now there's an earthy pavement that is formed, and the children of Israel begin to go over in the early hours of the dawn. They go over on dry ground. And then when they get to the other side, the great man of God stands up and stretches out his hand over the sea, and the waters, they begin to come back together. And the Egyptians that wanted to follow Israel, they now are trapped in this valley of judgment, and the chariot wheels have spun off, and the horses are going wild, and the horsemen are being thrown off the backs of the horses, and there's nothing they can do with a sword or with a lance or anything they can do with all of their battle experience, because now they're in a war with the waves of judgment as these waters collapse around them and the Egyptians are drowned. And the Bible says that this happened when the morning appeared. Well, folks, we know who that morning star is, because Apostle Peter told us. He said, for we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you would do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Well, that day star, that morning star, that dawn of deliverance, that radiance of resurrection, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of the glorious gospel. And my friend, if you are bound by sin today, you can be delivered when the morning appears. Jesus Christ is that morning. Jesus Christ is that light of liberty, of love, and of salvation. Jesus Christ can lead you out of your own figurative Egypt of slavery to iniquity and transgression and rebellion and failures that have mounted up and collected over the years. You can come out of that fear. You can come out of the shadows of shame, and you can live in the radiance, in the sun rays. The Bible talks about in Malachi 4:2, how the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. And so if you need a healing in the mind, you need deliverance from depression, you need to be set free from anxieties because you're just overwhelmed by panic and fear of what's going to take place in the coming days, weeks, months, and years, I want you to know that when the morning appears, Jesus Christ steps into your darkness and brings deliverance. He's more than a knight in shining armor, my friend. And this is not some mythical legendary figure. No, this is a real Savior who became a high priest, who became the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, who took our cross upon his back, carried our sins, the sins of the whole world, past, present, and future, for every man, woman, boy, and girl. And when the morning appeared on the third day, the tomb couldn't keep him, and the grave couldn't hold him down. He left the grave clothes behind and a folded napkin because he was walking in resurrection power. And God wants you to walk in the power of that same third day experience, that when the morning appears, when the light shines upon your life, when the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into your life, it's going to expose the darkness and the deception and the deceivers of the world for who they are and for what they're trying to do. But you'll stand in the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he'll give you a peace, my friend, that passes all understanding. He will set you free from the seducing spirits of this age. It doesn't matter what addictions you're bound by. It doesn't matter what kind of anger and resentment you may have in your soul. It doesn't matter all of the accusations and all the failures and all the mistakes and all the sins and iniquities that you've had in your life. The moment of brokenness and repentance, the moment when you turn your head away from the darkness and say, I'm walking toward that light. I want to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to have my sins washed away. And that's why the Red Sea and what the children of Israel were delivered from when those Egyptians were drowned in that Red Sea is a type of baptism. My friend, when you get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the light is turned on. The revelation of the grace of God takes over. The radiance of his mercy comes in. You suddenly live in the illumination of the liberty of the Spirit, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's no reason to continue to live in the prisons of the past when you can be free to worship God in the presence of the Lord. And he's calling for you. He's reaching for you. He knows what you have been enslaved to. He knows the bitterness that you have been bound by. He knows the shackles that you've worn on your mind, and how often you look in the mirror and shed the tears of regret because you wish there were so many things that you could change. And it's gotten out of hand. It's gotten out of control. And you've lost even a certain sense of self-worth. But I come to tell you today that when the morning appears, when the baptism waters can wash away the sins of your life, the blood of Jesus will set you free. Calvary is a real thing. The cross was a real event, but it wasn't just some historical execution of some loud-mouthed ruler or some rabbi who was, you know, off his rocker. No, this was a real Savior. This was the Messiah of the world. This was the Prince of Peace to step into the chaos of your life to set you free. And I pray that somehow you could be delivered from all of your demons, all of the skeletons in your closet, all of the things that try to rule as king of your life and yet treat you with harshness and abuse and shame. That's not how God wants you to live. You're not made for a pit. You're not supposed to be caught in a snare. You're not supposed to live in the trap of transgression. No, you're supposed to walk in the liberty of the truth, because Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the light of the world. I'm not talking about some satanic attempt to be some cheap, fake substitute. I'm talking about the authentic light. I'm talking about the glorious gospel of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, that wants to shine into your life. And I pray that somehow, some way, you can hear this word today and be delivered from your darkness. And so that someday you can share your testimony. Hey, when the morning appeared, I saw my sin drowned. I got deliverance. I walked over to a new place. I got to the other side. Instead of living in disgrace, I now live in grace. Instead of living in shame, I now live in the blessings and the mercies of the Lord. In Jesus' name.
My Savior, when the storms are raging, he's my shelter, where he leads me.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.